That special, say amen. Ooh, yeah, it's good stuff. If you would open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. I'd like to share with you this afternoon a message about trying to win your family members to the Lord. I know that most of you have your family and you know that they're saved. But there are some here today. I have no doubt that you got some family members. You don't know if they're saved or not, or you know that they're not saved. And we've got a challenge from the Word of God. Specifically, this is about wives winning their husbands that are unsaved to the Lord. But there's some principles here that we can apply in any role, whatever our role is, husband, wife, children, that we can win others to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a message that's very... It's very convicting to my heart. There are so many people in my family that I failed to be a witness to. People in my family who I finally got around to witnessing to after years and years and years. And I got to tell you, it's a shameful thing for us to have family that we've never witnessed to. But listen to me. If you've got family you've never witnessed to and you're burdened about that like I am, don't let the devil tell you that it's too late. Listen, you don't want to wait any longer. Amen. Just because you've never done it before doesn't mean now's not the time, because it is. And when you get that call that somebody you love and you care about is in the hospital and they're not sure they're going to make it, I promise you there's no worse feeling than going, I don't even know if they're saved or not. And so let this sink into your hearts this afternoon. And I will try to preach fast. You try to listen fast, okay? Let's stand together. 1 Peter 3, verses 1 through 7. And let this be on your heart. I know a lot of you, maybe you will, maybe you won't have family in this week or this holiday season between now and the new year. But some of you will. You'll have some family you don't normally get to see. And hopefully you'll learn some things. We'll all be challenged with some things from the Word of God this afternoon that'll help us to be a witness to win our family members to the Lord. 1 Peter 3, 1 through 7. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. Now, that conversation means lifestyle or behavior. So by the conversation or lifestyle of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair or wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. So basically he says, listen, you're going to win your husband by the way you live. It's not going to be about how you look. It's not going to be about your looks. It's not going to be about your clothes or your jewelry. It's going to be about your heart and your spirit. Verse 5, for after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Let it convict our hearts this afternoon. And if there's anyone here who's unsaved still, I pray that they'd be saved today before they leave this place. Let them repent of their sin, believe on Jesus, and call on you in prayer. Ask you for forgiveness and eternal life. And Lord, I pray for all who are saved that you would help us to have a burden for all the lost. Lord, everywhere we go, that we'd be witnesses for you. But Lord, especially this afternoon, as we consider our family, who may be unsaved still, Lord, that we would have a burden for them, a compassion for them, that we would love them more than we're afraid, that we would love them enough to share the gospel with them. And Lord, help us to be witnesses for you in our words and in our deeds. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Three things this afternoon very quickly. In order to win a family member to the Lord, you have to have the right prayer, you have to put yourself in the right place, and you have to have patience. It's about prayer, your place, and your patience. So first of all, I want to talk to you just a little bit about prayer and how we would pray. It talks in our text about the chaste conversation of the wife. It talks about a meek and a quiet spirit. It talks about somebody who's spiritual. And spiritual people are praying people. You can't have a connection with God without prayer. It's the only way we can be close to Him is through the Word of God and prayer. But if you show me a person who is close to the Lord, who is walking with a meek and a quiet spirit, who has a right spirit, I'm going to show you a person who is a praying person. And so let's learn a little bit about prayer. In James 5:16, the Bible says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." And our prayers need to be effectual. That means that we don't just have vain repetition. We pray with a purpose. We pray with an effect. We're trying to accomplish something. You ought to pray for your lost family members to be saved. And we ought to pray for all the lost to be saved, but I mean, we ought to be specific about it. If you got a husband or a wife that's unsaved, or a son or a daughter that's unsaved, if you've got an aunt or an uncle or a cousin, maybe you've got grandparents, whatever it is, you ought to pray for them every day earnestly for them to be prayed. To be saved. And effective prayer is said in faith. We ought to believe. Jesus said, "In all things whatsoever you ask, you shall ask in prayer, believing you shall receive." Pray believing that God's going to see them saved. An effective prayer is said in the name of Jesus. We've studied this so much. But in John 16:24, Jesus said, "Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." And he taught his disciples to pray in his name. We're putting the authority of Jesus and faith in Jesus in our prayer. An effective prayer is said. If you don't pray, it's not going to be effective. You have not because you ask not. We have a lot of unanswered prayers because we haven't prayed them. Unsaved family because we haven't asked the Lord to save them. An effective prayer is said for the right reasons. James 4:3, "You ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lust." Listen, you ask, but you got to ask with the right heart. An effective prayer is said by a faithful servant. In 1 John 3:22, the Bible says, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." If you're obedient to the Lord, faithful to the Lord, it doesn't mean you're perfect, but you're striving to live for him and do what he wants. God is going to bless. He's going to answer your prayers. Listen, if my kids are acting ugly and not acting right, when they come and ask me for candy, they're not getting candy. If they've acted right and they've done what they were told and they cleaned their room and did all the things their mama told them to do, and I haven't had to get on to them all day and they ask me for candy, I'm all right with that. You guys with me still? Okay, just checking. I know you're tired. Effectual. Listen, we need to pray. We got to pray believing. I told you about my uncle when I guess I was in college at the time, and I got the page. We had pagers back then. Some of you don't know what a pager is. And the number was to the cabinet shop where all my family works, and it said 911. And so obviously there was something bad wrong, and I called in. And they said my uncle had a heart attack. He was down in Fort Benning in Georgia to see his son graduate from jump school down there. And they said he's had a heart attack. It's real bad. They don't think he's going to make it. And I was 19, 20 years old, and I knew, I was pretty sure my uncle was lost. And I remember pouring my heart out to God, sitting there in my truck, just crying out to God, asking him to please let my uncle be saved before he died. And I want to tell you, for the first one of the first times I can vividly remember in my mind, I believed that he would live and we would get to share the gospel with him. And he did. And he got saved. Listen, we got to pray believing. Hey, don't go to God praying for Uncle Johnny to get saved and in your heart thinking there's no way he'll ever get saved. Don't do that. Pray believing that God will be gracious and he'll be merciful and he'll be saved. Pray with faith, effectual, earnest. Pray with fervency, fire, passion, and sincerity. When we pray, we got to pray from the heart. God knows if you're serious or not. God knows if you mean business about something, and he wants us to have a passion to our prayers. Pour out your heart to God and be effectual, be earnest, and be endless. Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Listen, don't tell me I prayed for him one time and he didn't get saved, so I'm not praying anymore. Come on. Keep praying and keep praying and keep praying. Don't stop praying for people to be saved. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, 2 Peter 3:9, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I guarantee you, when you're praying for somebody to be saved, you're praying in the will of God. You know how we normally have to pray, not my will, but thy will be done? You're praying for somebody to be saved. You don't have to say that. You know that's his will. You know he died for them. He wants them to be saved. So God's on your side. Pour out your heart in prayer. So if you want to win a family member to the Lord, you need to pray for them. You got somebody coming in for the holiday, you need to be praying for them to be saved. You got somebody that you see every day or every week and you don't know if they're saved. Pray for them. Number two, your place. We need to remember and faithfully keep the place in which God has placed us in our family. Now, God designed the family. He made the husband the head of the home, the wife's to be in subjection to her husband, and the children are to be in subjection to the parents. And we see this in our text. It talks about the wife having subjection to her husband. Did you see that in verse 1? We've got to be in our place. Listen, if a wife is saved and her husband's lost, and she's always trying to be the leader in the home and put her husband down and things like that, it's not going to work. She's not going to have a witness or a testimony to him. If a husband's saved and his wife is lost, but he's not trying to be the man of the house and he's not trying to be the leader of the home, he's not trying to take responsibility and accountability as the leader of the home, he's not going to be an effective witness. If there are children who are saved and their parents are unsaved and the children are disobedient and unruly and they don't take their place in the home, they're not going to be an effective witness to their parents. I've seen a lot of bus kids come to church in my lifetime. I've seen a lot of them get saved. I've seen a lot of them burdened for their parents and trying to win their parents to the Lord. And it's a blessing to see that. But I've also seen a lot of those bus kids that were not respectful to their parents because their parents weren't saved. And they're not going to be effective in winning their parents to the Lord if they're disobedient. So we've got to keep our place. The wife is to be the helpmeet to the husband. She's to quietly reverence and honor her husband. She's to care for the home and teach the children to fear the Lord. And when she faithfully keeps her place in submission to her husband, care for the children at home, she demonstrates a reverence and submission we should all have to God and our family. A wife is to be righteous. She's to have chaste conversation. She's to be reverential with fear before God. She's to be reserved. She's supposed to be modest, humble in heart, and peaceable in her spirit. She's to be respectful, being in subjection, and being in her right place in the home. Now, that's not to degrade women or the wife at all. It's just the picture that God gives, the role that God gives. I'm thankful for godly women. I'm thankful for faithful women who have been faithful to God and won their husbands to the Lord. The wife needs to keep her place. The husband is to be the head of the home, especially in spiritual matters. And I get a little bit grieved with these fellas that think it's all up to the wife and church is just for the wife and kids. Listen, the husband's to be the head of the home, especially in spiritual matters. He's to love his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. He's to care for his wife, we read a little bit ago, as the weaker vessel. He's supposed to keep his place faithfully to demonstrate the love of Christ and care for Christ that Christ has for his church. And so we have the husband in his place. We have the children. Children are to honor and obey their parents in everything. Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And so we got to have prayer, have our proper place. And lastly, we need to have patience. We learned in the message this morning that we need to rely on God completely. I saw a bumper sticker one time. Maybe you've seen them. It says FROG, FROG. And I thought, what in the world? It stands for fully rely on God. FROG. Some of you know Sister Linda Smith. She loves frogs. I think of her every time I see that. FROG, fully rely on God. I don't know if you like the acronym or not, but the principle is great. You can't save your family members. You can't save anybody. But God never called us to save people. He called us to sow the seed. He called us to cast the net. He called us to be witnesses. He called us to do the work of getting the gospel out. We sow and we water, but God is the one who gives the increase. And so rely on God. Don't feel like it's all your responsibility. It's your responsibility to have a right conversation, a right lifestyle, and it's your job to give the gospel. So when we give the gospel with our words and with our deeds, then we've done our job. So rely on God completely. It's Jesus who saves, not us. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We need to rely on God completely, and we need to rely on God continually. I want to remind you again that you ought to never, ever, ever give up. Never give up. How many of you got saved the very first time somebody shared the gospel with you? How many of you, the first time somebody told you about Jesus and how he was the only way to be saved, that you got saved the very first time you heard that? Or how many of you had to hear the gospel over and over and over again before you finally trusted Christ? I mean, you had to be brought to church a lot, or you had to be invited to church a lot, or you had to have somebody share the gospel with you a lot. Listen, I grew up in church, and I heard the gospel when I was a little boy, and I heard it in Sunday school class, and I heard it in the sermons, and I heard it for a long time before I was ever saved. And we need to remember that when we're dealing with people, that people don't get saved the first time they hear the gospel. That's not the way it normally works. Is that possible? Sure. But the point is, don't give up. Be patient. And rely on God continually. He is good. He wants everybody to be saved. And persistence pays. Listen, we need to learn to be faithful in trying to be a witness by prayer, by keeping our place in the home, and by patience in sharing the gospel, and praying for them, continuing to encourage them, and by living that godly lifestyle. I want to tell you why I think we're not effective witnesses to our family. I think that one of the main reasons we're not an effective witness to our family is because our family knows us. And we're scared to talk to them about Jesus because they know us. They've seen the worst of the worst. And some of us got some pretty bad worst. Now, it's hard to go to somebody who's seen you at your worst and knows the terrible things that you've done and try to tell them about Jesus. But listen, the devil wants you to not witness because of that, but that's a great reason to witness. Amen. When you're living a godly lifestyle and you can say, look at you know me. You know the things that I've done. But look at what Jesus has done for me in my life. Look at the change he's made in me. I'm not perfect. You know I'm not perfect, but look at what he's done in my life. But more than what he's done in my life, he's given me eternal life. Share your testimony with your family and friends. Some of you got some family members lost. They've been lost so long, you got kind of used to it. Don't get used to it. None of us are guaranteed another day. We're not guaranteed another hour or another minute. And it may not be you that gets taken from this world. It may be that lost family member. So let's pray, and let's keep our place, and let's patiently, faithfully witness to others that they might be saved. Let's stand together. We're going to get ready for an invitation.